Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Joined now on the flagship podcast interview by the one and only Roger Wallace of KXAN, 26 years at KXAN here in Austin, Texas. Been a part of the Longhorn Radio broadcast, the Longhorn Radio Network for athletic broadcasts since 2004. Good timing, Roger, by the way, on that.
Yeah, I stepped right in, didn't I? My first road game, I remember, first of all, the first home game that year was North Texas, and Cedric Benson's first touch that year was a touchdown run. Then they go to Arkansas for my first road game, and, you know, I was doing sidelines, and they warned me, and they were right. It was that still may be the loudest stadium I've been in, including, you know, Ohio State and some of the other ones. But, yeah, it was quite a way to get started back in 04.
So Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Going back, right?
Going back. Week two. You
know, it's week funny, two. Chip. We get there on a Friday, you know, and we do some work for TV, and they couldn't have been more accommodating at the stadium, more friendly. By Saturday night, not so much. They were breathing fire, man.
Wow. Yeah. And that's one of those games that always seems to mean more to Arkansas than to Texas. I'm not trying to be, you know, big brother to Arkansas, but those fans get amped for Texas. And I don't know if these current players understand it, but they're going to find out when they head up to Fayetteville after facing the Louisiana Raging Cajuns in week one, the same Raging Cajuns who went into Ames, Iowa as part of that Sun Belt takedown in week one against the Big 12 last year. And Roger, that leads us into Steve Sarkisian, the new direction for Texas football. And I guess your thoughts initially on, you know, when there's a new president, we do the first 100 days for the new football coach at Texas, the first 60 days, your thoughts?
Well, from our interaction, it's, and I don't know, you may be the same way, but you kind of look at a head coach where you cover them from a couple of different perspectives. First off, do you think they can win? Do you think they're doing it? And then kind of, you know, how does it affect your job? Because we have to deal with these coaches so much, and they see so much of us. And when we get back to the old ways, you know, that's such a big part of our careers from, you know, whatever, August to December. So, you know, recruiting wise, it looks like he's getting things together, what he wants. You start with the quarterback commit. Sounds like that's the quarterback he wanted, Malik Murphy, and filling in some spots and looking down the road to get the running back Owens. I've never been much into the recruiting. I follow what you guys do, and I believe that, you know, guys that are ranked high are going to be good. And I also know that a lot of them aren't going to pan out. And I'll be honest, Chip, I'll look on a roster and I'll go, oh, wait, I remember him. He was huge news when he committed and when he signed, and now he's struggling to get on the field. So from that perspective, looks like he's doing a good job recruiting. Sounds like a staff that, you know, again, and you follow this closer than anybody, you know, when you bring a staff in from all points of the country, you just wonder how that's going to work out. And the other thing is, Chip, what are they like after a loss? Because until they lose, I don't think you have a great gauge on kind of the all round coach that you're dealing with.
Yeah. You don't know what you got until you hit some adversity. You don't know as a coach, you don't know what kind of player leadership you have until you hit some adversity. And the players don't know what kind of coach they have until they hit that stuff either. What has stood out to you, Roger? And, you know, obviously it was a huge decision by Texas to to end the Tom Herman era when the guy's not had a losing season, $25 million to buy him out and his staff, and to go in the direction of Steve Sarkisian, who, you know, obviously had a fall from grace in his last venture as a college head coach, but clearly Texas felt like he had learned some valuable lessons working with Nick Saban and having worked with Pete Carroll. But what do you make of the commitment of Texas to go in this direction, the timing of it? How big of a gamble is this?
Seems like a big gamble. The timing was interesting because of you add up the last two wins at K-State in the Alamo Bowl, and it was, 70 points combined margin of victory. And it looked like things were kind of, you know, you saw the young quarterback, Casey Thompson. We saw the future, centerpiece of the offense in Bijan Robinson. So all that seemed to be trending the other way. I guess what it tells me and what, you know, all of us learned is it wasn't fixable. But when things went bad in the middle of the season, the results were irrelevant almost from there on out. Now, you tell me, if they walk off that field against Iowa State with a victory and play for the Big 12 title, maybe that's the difference. And then the second part of your question is, well, you know, they went down the Urban Meyer hole, and once you don't get him, where do you go? So I thought it was interesting that so quickly, as you reported on January 2nd, they had their guy in Sark, who, you know, he's attached to Nick Saban. So, you know, suddenly people are watching that national title game with a different eye with Texas fans. But sure, it's a gamble. I don't know. I think we've learned there's no sure things. And so, he's much different than Tom Herman. I think, you know, he's a little more mellow. I think he's, at least to us, it's not quite as forceful, his message. It's more like, you know, work together. Now, you know, he hasn't been a head coach in a long time. And think about where he was a head coach. USC, obviously USC is huge in LA, but it's still a university in a pro city. And Washington in Seattle, same deal. It's a pro city. So it's going to be different from him. Probably has already been different right off the bat with the amount of attention he's going to get.
Anything stand out to you so far in what he has said, either about his own personal growth or the message to his players or to the fans at Texas?
So far, I think he's played it about, you know, like we would expect. He's not going to get sucked into what he inherited, passing judgment on what happened, why the program decided to make a change, as you talked about, even though wins and losses so much different than, you know, when they made the change from Charlie to Tom Herman. But I sense a confidence that probably, I think he feels like he's really benefited from his time in the NFL, from his time with Nick Saban. And you almost sense that he's got this confidence that he's going to be a different coach. And we see so many examples of guys for different reasons, being a head coach, it not working out for one reason or another, getting that, you know, that next opportunity. And it does. So I guess maybe it's just kind of that quiet confidence. There's not, we're going to turn this around. There's not this, but you just get the sense he thinks he knows what it will take to get it done.
Yeah. And it's Chris Del Conte, there were the two big hires that he was not a part of were football and basketball. Now, Chris Del Conte has been involved in the hiring of the football coach. You've got all these facility upgrades that Del Conte has done an amazing job with. My God, I mean, when you total it up, and even the basketball arena where they're getting third-party funding, I mean, the total is $700 million in terms of facility upgrades that have touched just about every sport on campus. And football, the South End will be ready to go this fall. The momentum, what are realistic expectations, Roger, for, I mean, you're laughing already, and Texas fans are expecting the Big 12 title every right. year, but I kind of find myself saying, hey, just hope for the Mack Brown formula, you know, win 9 the first year, go to a Big 12 title game in year two, and again in year four, you know, it'd be great, right? I mean, what are your thoughts? What are realistic expectations, if such a thing exists, for Texas fans?
Yeah, that it almost, it, Chip, you know this as well as anybody, those words together at Texas, it's, that's a tough combination, realistic expectations. I mean, they're going to be off the charts, and people hate to look what other teams have because they want their team to be able to win regardless. But you have to be realistic as well about, okay, Casey Thompson was great, thrust into that unusual situation down in San Antonio. We can only assume Bijan Robinson, albeit a different offensive line, is going to be really good, be a workhorse. But to start with OU and what they've got coming back, and you have to start at quarterback, right? I mean, every team you look at, don't you start with quarterback? So you look at Oklahoma, you look at Iowa State, the two teams that played in the Big 12 title game, their quarterbacks are back. So realistic expectations, I think 9 would exceed expectations. If you're talking about 9-3, it means you either run the table and then think about, they've not run the table in the non-conference in how long, you know?
Right.
You don't count this year because it was just one game. So just that start, you know, when you look at Tom Herman, had, you know, he was the guy you had to have, right? I mean, they had to have Tom Herman. He cast such a shadow over this program from Houston. They had to have him. What happens? They go in the first home game and lose to Maryland and, you know, two different quarterbacks. Okay, next year we've got a veteran in Sam Ellinger. We're going to Maryland. All the things swirling around that Maryland program, the tragedy they had to endure. They changed coaches. They go in there and lose. So all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball right off the bat. So how about this for a realistic expectation? 3-0 in non-conference, and that's two good wins at home against Louisiana and in Fayetteville.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. And it's, I mean, everyone's excited, but it's, there's, you've got to plan for an adjustment period. I mean, you look at Casey Thompson, he's on his third offense in 3 years, but you know, what do you think? I mean, when you look at the roster, talking to Roger Wallace, longtime voice on Longhorn Radio broadcast, of course, 26 years at KXAN in Austin. When you look at the roster, what excites you? Where are the concerns?
Offensively, I don't know if the quarterback's a concern. It's more, I think you still have to call it somewhat of a question mark because you have one half of a body of work to go with. It was a spectacular half. But then obviously the running back situation, but then, okay, what about the offensive line? You're going to have some changes on the offensive line. I think they'll be good at wide receiver. The middle of the defense excites me on the defensive line, the two big guys in the middle. And, you know, everybody says, you know, you build from the middle and out. So those excite me. Where, you know, are they going to have a pass rusher like a Joseph Osai? DeMarvion Overshown really excites me. I think that was huge that they get him a second year in the system because he's such an athletic anomaly at his size. And I would assume he's going to get a little bit bigger and not lose any speed. He's the guy that excites me the most on the defensive side of the ball. And I guess you have to factor in the Sark factor offensively. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he can take good and make great when it comes to the offense. Again, he was handed the keys last year to, you know, where they had the best offensive line. They had one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks. They had one of the best running backs. We had 2-3 of the best wide receivers. So, okay, is it scheme? Is it talent? I guess we'll find out a little more of a sample size when he gets a hold of this Texas offense.
We'll take a quick break here on the flagship podcast interview with Roger Wallace, longtime voice on Texas radio broadcasts, and of course, 26 years at KXAN here in Austin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Roger, let's get a couple thoughts from you on Texas basketball, because Shaka Smart, unbelievable 10-1 start. The Longhorns are in the top five. Greg Brown, a lot of excitement. Then they have COVID issues. They lose 4 of 5. Now they're having to make up games. They're all on the road. They lose a tough one to Texas Tech. And suddenly they're in the middle of the pack in the Big 12 after beating Kansas in Lawrence by 25 earlier in the year. Where is this Texas basketball team?
Man, that's a good question, Chip. And I certainly can't answer that because of what we've seen with the roller coaster ride. By all accounts, the way they fell behind against KU and the way KU had been playing, you figure, okay, they're gonna lose that one because you know, not only is KU playing good, but you're at home with a handful of people, so you're not getting a big bump. You know, the home court advantage now is you don't have to travel, and you don't have to travel. And Chip, I've traveled twice doing UT women's basketball games on the road, sitting in for Craig, and you have to wear the N95 on the flight. You have to wear the shield. That is, you know, that's miserable. And then these kids and the coaches talk about it, but I was kind of thrust into that little bubble with them, and you see it's terrible on the road. You go in, they go to the meeting room, they grab their meal, they go back to the room. I sound like Tom Herman right now, I know. But it's true, and I lived it to a certain extent. I had a little more freedom. I didn't have to go by their schedule. So the road problem this year is just kind of enduring. It has nothing to do with the arena unless, you know, some arenas maybe you feel more comfortable than others, and obviously at home you better feel the most comfortable. I don't know. I mean, offensively, this team still is frustrating. You know, I looked at a mock draft and they had Greg Brown and Kai Jones back to back at 16 and 17. So here we go again, right? They're going to both go in the first round, and people go, how can you have two first round near, if not lottery, right on the fringe of lottery picks and do what you did? Well, again, Cade Cunningham takes over games. These guys don't. Greg Brown's had flashes. Coincidentally, one of them was against Cade Cunningham and OSU. But, you know, their payoff is going to be down the road more so than here. Now, you know, who says they can't get it rolling if they get to Indiana? But I don't know. You got the three guards, and it's supposed to be, you know, a guards game, especially in the postseason, but they don't ever seem to be all kind of in sync together. And then what you get on the inside is so inconsistent productive-wise.
Well, speaking of Indiana – of course, the NCAA tournament will be in Indianapolis. You are a graduate of Indiana, and you and I were talking before the flagship podcast interview. Your senior year was, yep, Bobby Knight throwing the chair across the floor. Was that against Purdue?
That was against Purdue. My parents had come up to visit. They went to the game with me. All right, they were at the game. I was serving in a student media capacity, so we were not together. But, yeah, but it was, you know, just like you're watching something in slow motion. But those were, Chip, until things kind of went off the rails for Knight, that was the worst four-year stretch you could be in. I came in right after Isaiah and the Hoosiers won the national title, and then I left, and 2 years later, Steve Alford leads them. And in fact, my senior year, they went to the NIT, beat Allen Houston in Tennessee in the semifinals at Madison Square Garden, and lost to Reggie Miller in UCLA in the championship game. So think, you know, Bob Knight in the NIT, just 3 years removed from a national championship. And remember, the year before is when they beat Jordan and North Carolina in the regional semifinals, when, you know, that may have been the most talented team Carolina ever had. When you look at all the top players, not just Jordan, you had Kenny Smith, you had Brad Doherty, you had Sam Perkins, you had Jimmy Black, you had Matt Doherty. That team was unbelievable. So, yeah, I was in there for an interesting four-year stretch. And if you know the book Season on the Brink, the 84-85 season led to the next one, which was the Season on the Brink, and then they won the national title the next year.
So is basketball, what would you say is your favorite sport to follow?
Well, I'm a chameleon, Chip. I got to go where, you know, where the bills are paid. So here, football means the most to the most people. So I understand that. But yeah, as a kid growing up in Ohio, Basketball was always my first passion. Going to IU, obviously. My senior year at IU, they were 0-11 in football under the late, great Bill Mallory. Babe Laufenberg was a quarterback in my stretch at IU, a Stanford transfer. I did see Marcus Allen come through Bloomington and just obliterate their defense. And Keith Byers may have been the best college running back I had seen in my life up until that point for Ohio State. But basketball as a kid was always, it was always my favorite sport.
Well, we'll get your thoughts on UT baseball and then we'll turn you loose, Roger. Obviously, David Pierce trying to get his team going. He's not afraid to play tough competition. They go up to the State Farm College Baseball Showdown at Globe Life Field and get wiped out by top 10 competition, but then take 3 of 4 against BYU. Texas picked to finish third in the Big 12. Your early thoughts on Texas baseball?
Yeah, and we've heard this before, but hitting up and down the lineup, you got to be able to be more consistent than they have offensively. It really struggled in Arlington, just striking out too many times. And then David, I did the game on Saturday, and he was really frustrated with, you know, the bullpen. The, you know, Tristan Stevens was rolling along, then he gets hit a little bit, and then you bring in guys you think can win some battles, and they just didn't win the battle. And they only scored, they score 4 early, but can't do anything afterwards. So still trying to find. You brought up a good point, though, Chip, that competition. You can't turn down being invited to that event. But Tech went up there and lost all 3 as well. So you know there's the potential you're going to come out of there 0-3 you don't think about, but you know it's possible. But 1-2, and you could still say, last year they went to Houston, went 1-2, got beat by LSU in a close game, beat Arkansas, and then lost to Missouri. So, but you learn a lot more, I would think, in that environment than having somebody come in and just, you know, have BP for 3 games. So I think this weekend will be interesting against U of H, because then South Carolina comes to town the next weekend. I'm not discounting midweek games. I know you can lose any of them, Corpus on Tuesday and in San Marcos on Wednesday. But I think you got some really good pitchers, frontline guys. Ty Madden was outstanding in his start on Friday, but I think they're trying to figure out the bullpen. I think Tanner Witt's probably going to be the name that we'll see a lot. And if Pete Hansen can get healthy, then he can be your number 2 guy behind Madden.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Tanner Witt, what? He retired the 10 batters he faced on Saturday against BYU after that eruption for 5 runs in the 6th he was solid, and that's good news. He has a 0.00 ERA. I know after 3 appearances, that's a good thing, right? Roger, really, really appreciate it. Do you have a favorite Longhorn moment that you've been a part of in terms of a broadcast?
Well, you know, there's a few. Obviously, the Vince touchdown, I was down on the sidelines for that. But
incredible.
My first,
right there up over my shoulder there.
Yeah, you know, I found I was at a dealer, like a photo shop. I don't know what, you know, they had like their photos, but they're framed and everything at the Barton Creek Mall. And I saw the Vince touchdown, and you could see in the background, you could see a kind of a silhouette. And then you saw this little like colored thing right there. I said, that's me. That's where, because that was the credential. I had like a black coat on. So we bought that. But, yeah, that was one of them. Being in San Antonio when Texas – I wasn't on the broadcast there, but just being in San Antonio when they went to the Final Four was really cool. I was really thought it was cool for Rick Barnes. Yep. You know, my first game doing UT women was they went to Stanford. Stanford had just beaten UConn's and snapped their 46-game win streak. And Texas went out there and beat them. And – My women's broadcasting experience has been interesting, Chip, because I never thought about, you know, doing women's basketball. And then I think of a line that Rick Barnes uses and Shaka uses about getting lost in the game. And that's the first thing I noticed doing the UT women. Once you get lost in the game, doesn't matter what you're doing. Yeah. And so that was a really cool moment. I did the Alabama game when Mo Bamba and Colin Sexton went head to head. And Texas dominated Alabama. Stanford game with the men. Isaiah Taylor hit a crazy shot to beat Stanford. So there's been a lot of cool moments over the years. The walk-off win against LSU a couple of years ago in baseball when they swept LSU. But it's been a joy. I love doing the game so much.
Well, I should ask you about the Texas women, and they're coming off this really heartbreaking loss to OU, where they, I think they were up 10 with 3 minutes left and somehow, you know, found themselves in overtime and then lost. And they've got Baylor this week. And, but, you know, give me your thoughts about Vic Schaefer and the Texas women's basketball team.
Yeah. You know, I did that game Saturday and they went over to do the baseball game. So I don't even know if I'll be allowed on campus again after that 6 hour stretch. But yeah, it almost seemed like, everything just kind of caught up to them. Charlie Collier fouled out. Celeste Taylor fouled out. They missed a bunch of free throws down the stretch, and OU just made enough plays. But they're offensively challenged. And if Charlie, even if she's giving you 25 and 15, you still got to find another, you know, 40 points. They play really, really hard defense. But they're just so limited offensively. And I think he's so excited about this class coming in, the two guards from Houston and the Elijah Moore from Oklahoma, but it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, make any noise in the bubble. And, you know, Charlie's someone, if you get the right matchup. Now, OU should have been the right matchup. They didn't have anybody over 6'2", and she got herself into foul trouble, or she could have scored, you know, at will. But I think he's scrapping with what he's got. He's thin in the backcourt, and he basically has two bigs in Charlie and the transfer from Penn State, rather, Lauren Ebo. So I think you look at the record and they're 10 and 6 in the Big 12 and you're going, that's pretty good. Considering two wins over Iowa State, but that was a bad one on Sunday. And Vic was really frustrated about that.
Yeah. I love his energy and helps on the way. He's certainly recruiting well. So that's going to be a fun program to watch, and he's won everywhere he's been. Certainly as a head coach at Mississippi State, going to two national championship games. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And the timing chip with the new arena coming in a couple seasons, that's even, I mean, it's going to be great for the guys. But I think even more so was if you put 6.5, 7 in there, it's going to be so different, the Irwin Center. And then, you know, the occasional 9 or 10. Now Vic thinks they're going to put in 10 every night and that'll be awesome. But 6.5 or 7 in there is going to be a pretty significant home court advantage, I think.
Yeah, when he gets the athletes in there that he had at Mississippi State, that is fun basketball to watch. There's no doubt about it.
And it's got to be a nightmare to play against him when they get that pressure going and he gets those athletes. You can just see that press is exhausting to play against, I would imagine.
Yeah. Roger Wallace, folks. I mean, the guy, he's a class act. He's done an incredible job on all those Longhorn Radio Network broadcasts that you've been listening to, you know, for years and 26 years at KXAN. Roger, you're the man. And we really appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure, Chip. You and I go way back, and I always like when we get together and chat. And it's fun to be able to not be under some time constraints like I am at my day job.
Yes, absolutely. Well, listen, for Roger Wallace, I am Chip Brown. Thanks to you all for listening to the Flagship Podcast interview. And until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!